I want to say thank you to you, the church, for allowing us to have the freedom to do what God calls us to do when He calls us to do it. I want to thank you for that. Because the truth of the matter is, you've heard me say time and time again, we'll say it at least one more time, that people look to me as the leader, and that is true. That is, I didn't necessarily ask for that. God just put me here. But people look to me as a leader, and I get a lot of credit when things are good. I get the criticism when things are bad, and I'm that's cool with me. I can take that. I can accept it. But the truth is, any good leader is only out taking a walk if he doesn't have good followers. Right? So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being the church that you are. But I also want to challenge you, because I don't yet believe we're quite the church God wants us to be. Amen. Over the next several few weeks, I'm going to be unfolding for you kind of what my vision is. And I spent a lot of time. I've spent actually probably upwards of 2 years trying to get that vision, and been struggling with it. And I got alone by myself. I was at Camp Choye a couple weekends ago and spent up there. I got it all ready for you ladies. So, but I was up there for a weekend or a few days during the end of the week, and I just got alone and had some time to spend, and some things kind of came together for me like they had never done before as far as my vision for the church. And I just want to share that with you today. It's probably not the best put together sermon I've ever done. And so just bear with me on that, and we'll go through there. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to do kind of like two sermons at one time here. I'm going to preach a sermon, then I'm going to tell you how it ties into our vision at the end. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, we read this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered. Of course, it was Simon Peter, right? The NIV says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." I like King James Version. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a declaration right there. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." You know, some things only God can reveal. Nobody told Peter that, but God told him that. He said in verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Yes, that's worth clapping about. Because I will tell you, we are that church. Oh, come on. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are that church. There's a story about this evangelist. He was traveling around and he's gone to preach a revival at this church, and he was riding with the pastor, and they'd gone up to the convenience store to get a Coke or something, I don't know, and they were going. There was this other church that was also having a type of a revival, and drove by, and the church house was just packed. There were cars parked everywhere. If you can imagine this, the country church with cars parked at every angle all around the church, and just couldn't. Can y'all picture that in your head, what that might look like? And the evangelist went, "Wow, that church is packed." And the preacher went, "Oh, yeah, yeah, well, you don't want to go to that church. They're weird." He said, don't want to go to that church. They're weird. He said, what do you mean they're weird? He said, well, they're just weird. They're just, that's that church. That's those people, and it's that church. And the evangelist goes, oh. So have you been? Oh, no. I've never been there. No, I've never been. I just know that they're weird. A little weird is okay. A little weird is okay. Guess what? We are that church too. In verse 13. Yeah, you can. Barefoot preaching pastor up there. I tell you what. In verse 13, I want to point out a couple things. Verse 13, Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? What was he getting at here? Who do people say that I am? He was getting out there. You see, that church, they had a reputation. And Jesus was saying, what's my reputation? Who do people say that I am? What do people say? He said, you have heard, we have heard, we've heard this. Yeah, what do people say that I am? And then he went on in verse 15, he said, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, there's a difference between reputation and a revelation. There's a difference between a reputation and a revelation. A reputation is what people are talking about, what they say, what people hear. A revelation is something you know because God told you yourself, and it's something that you got deep, buried deep down in your bones, and you know for a fact this has got to be true. Reputation or not, this is the truth. This is a revelation. And I'll tell you this. When it comes down to either choosing reputation or revelation, I'm going to go with revelation every single time because revelation is true. Revelation is true. We are called to be that church. Weird, not ordinary, sometimes unconventional by society's standards. We're called to be that church. But if we are that church, we should also have a confidence in who we are and what we are and in whose we are. I've identified four things that I think church should be. Okay? I think church should be creative. Let me start all over. I think church should be creative. How does our Bible start? In the beginning, God created. God created. Listen, God is a creator. Are we created in His image? So if He is a creative God, then we should be creative also. Church should be fun. It should be exciting. It should be even surprising sometimes. We should not come to church with expectations except to expect that God would do something that maybe we never even saw coming. I hope and pray that you come expecting that. God, what are you going to do today? I don't know, but I'm expecting something. I don't have in mind what to expect. I just accept that I want to see God do something. And I think that's the only expectation we should have. When you know what to expect, it gets boring. It gets ritualistic. It gets mundane. When you know what to expect, it gets to be where it is my church instead of God's church. Jesus didn't say, I will build your church. He said, I will build my church. I'm going to ask you some really hard questions today. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Is Jesus Christ alive? Yes. Y'all pass that one. If Jesus Christ is alive, should His church not be also? And part of being alive is being creative. Part of being alive. Part of what I believe church also should be, I'm going to tell you something that's kind of controversial here. Okay? I believe church should be controversial. Now, not in the bad way like you're thinking. Not stirring up trouble just for the sake of stirring up trouble. But did you know that the only way to eliminate criticism is to eliminate effectiveness? I would rather be effective and criticized than not effective and have a good reputation. I certainly would be. Jesus called us to be a city on a hill. He said, we are to let our light shine before men. Something cool about light, that people can only cast shade because there's light. We are that church. And again, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We ain't scared. Did you know the gates? I love this illustration. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Guess what gates are used for? You don't carry gates into battle in an offensive manner. Has anybody ever, when you look at Braveheart, or you look at The Patriot, or any of those World War II battle movies, whatever, you don't ever see people charging with gates, do you? We're going to get you with our gates. No, you don't use gates as an offensive. Gates are a defensive mechanism. Guess what? The gates of hell, the defensive mechanism of hell, shall not prevail against the church. We are that church. I want to be that church. I want to be that church that Jesus talks about, that storms the gates of hell and steals back what the devil has stolen. I want to be that church. Jesus said we can. Jesus said that is what he intended for his church. Now this church, this body of believers, Dolan Baptist Church, is part of the church. Okay? We're a part. We're a portion of the church. We have a specific role to play in the grand scheme of God's plan. We will always be a church. This is important. Y'all need to listen. We will always be a church for anyone. But we will not always be a church for everyone. And I know that. I know that. The church down the road may be a better fit for someone. And if that someone will go there, get involved, and let their light shine, then praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The third thing, we need to be creative. We need to be willing to be controversial. We need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. We need to keep doing it. We need to... I preached a sermon one time called Don't Stop on Six. Going around the city of Jericho. Remember? We read about they walked around the Jericho and the walls fell. Well, that's not all of the story. Before that, on day one, they took a lap around the city. Made one lap. Guess what? The walls were still standing. Got up the next day. Joshua said, let's take another lap. They got the marchers out front and the ark and all that. They made a lap around the city. Guess what? At the end of the day, walls were still standing. Can you imagine that? Day three, day four, day five, day six. Got back. Don't you think some of the people were going, what are we doing here? All we're doing is walking around this. All we've done is for 6 days, just walk around the city. Take a lap. I'm tired of walking. If they stopped on six, they would have never experienced day seven. What happened on day seven? They walked around it seven times, and guess what happened to the walls? They fell down. They went in and routed the city. Don't stop on six. You got to be consistent. Even when you don't see things that are happening, stay with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. The walls didn't come down on day one. Neither did Nehemiah's workers when they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. They didn't go up in one day either. They had to stick with it, stick with it, stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. Keep on doing it, and one day you will see the culmination of consistency. Now, the trick is to be consistent and creative at the same time. Consistency alone says, we're going to do it this way. We're going to always do it this way. We're always going to do it this way because we've always done it this way. That's pretty consistent. But consistency meets creativity and says, if this is still being used by God, how do we keep it fresh, exciting, and not mundane? Consistency is important. Now, the fourth thing that I want to bring to you today that I believe the church needs to be is compassionate. Compassion. Let me just ask you a question. If you're here today and you have felt the compassion of this church, would you please stand up? Wow. Okay, so we do have a compassionate church. Thank you. Jesus showed compassion. You may be seated. Jesus showed compassion. Did he not? Jesus showed compassion all throughout his ministry. He would meet somebody. There was he would heal lame people. He would make blind people see. He would heal disease. Raise the dead. Good grief. He showed compassion. Now, I'm not so certain if I'm dead and I'm with Jesus, it would be a compassionate thing to let me be there. But nonetheless, many of you stood to say that you've been shown compassion by the believers of this church. And I could ask each and every one of you to come up and give testimony about that. So that's what we're going to do. Except I'm not going to ask each and every one of you to come up, but I do want to ask one person to come up. I want to ask Beverly Cox to come up, and I did ask her permission, but Beverly Cox is going to come up. Beverly is going to come up and give just a short testimony of her experience with you and your compassion from this church.
Thank you, Pastor. I love this church. When I first came here, I felt completely welcome. Everyone hugged and welcomed me very warmly. I have been overwhelmed by the love of the people in this church. I have a little small camper, light trailer down there that was about to fall apart, and our men got together, and they done for me what I could not do for myself. They repaired the inside, and they got it ready for me so that I have a place to live. And other people here, like Betty, she helped me find a place to put that trailer so I could afford to live. And they had a housewarming for me. I was so overwhelmed with the gifts that everyone gave me that I had to take some of them back. I just didn't have the room for all of it. I got 3 electric ovens in that event. But the love I have felt here is wonderful. This is home. I mean, this is a good place to call your home if you are looking for a home church. I think of the word compassion, and I break it down in 2 parts. Come, passion. God comes with his passion, and it bleeds out into everyone here. I mean, everyone here shows their compassion for others, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
A number of you could have come up here and given testimony of God's compassion to you through the believers of this church. Folks, we are that church. We will remain that church. Now, I've shared with you some information, some things about what I believe we're supposed to be, what church ought to be. I'm now going to kind of give you just a real quick. I'm fixing to wrap this up. We got more business to do, but there is. I'm gonna reveal to you what my vision for Dolan Baptist Church is. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on this because I'm going to break it down and go over each part for the next few weeks to really kind of drive this home about what I believe God has called us to be in this place. Now, the thing about vision is this, and I shared this with our group this morning. The thing about vision is this. A vision is where, somewhere down the road, what God wants us to be down there. Vision doesn't always include how to get there. Okay? It's not the nuts and bolts. It's the grander scheme about where we want to be, but not exactly how to get there. Okay? So that's the part we're going to have to figure out. But I believe that God has a big plan for us. here's kind of my vision in a nutshell. To be a church for all people who want to experience God's welcome, understand God's word, and join in God's work. We have to think outside the box because the church is failing to reach a lost and dying world. What the church has been doing has not really been working. So we must be creative to reach a world that is changing faster than the church can keep up with. That's what we're going to become. Got a couple slides I want to show you. What is that? A U. That's a U. Now, if you put two of them right next to each other, what do you get? A W. But that's not what a W looks like, is it? What's that? A V. V stands for vision. And what if you put two of them right next to each other? Now that just don't make sense, does it? That's a double V. That's a double V. I'd call it a double V. I can still make the W sound, but it's a double V. All right, one more slide. WV3. Now, I know some of you think you just came back from C3 and you stole that. Well, guess what? Maybe I did, but there's a whole lot of letters between a C and a double V. WV3, our vision, because it has three W's in it. Welcome, word, and work. Now, over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to take one of those each week and break it down for you, kind of open that up and let you see what that's going to look like. Welcome, word, and work. We want to be a church that welcomes all peoples. Okay? We're going to stand on the word of God. Okay? Now we're also, now part of standing on the word of God is worship. Part of standing on the Word of God is worship. Why do we know that? Because it's in the Word of God. We're going to teach and preach the Word of God. We're going to be biblical. We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to live out James, the book of James, and when people are sick, we're going to anoint them with oil. We're going to pray over them. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to do what Scripture says. We're going to admonish people that are wayward. We're going to do those things. We're going to be in the Word. A lot of us are willing to do that, to be welcoming, and to be in the Word. Some of us want to be a W-2 church. We got to work. Again, over the next few weeks, I'm going to kind of break that down to you. But here's the deal, folks. Man, there's so much I want to say. First thing I want to say is, ladies, we're going to send y'all away again this week because this is what happens after y'all leave. You're ready. They're ready. I love what Beverly said. Passion. Compassion. Come. Passionate. Come and worship God passionately. Come and be passionate in your worship for Him. Now, what does that look like? You know, I'm not even going to try to describe what that looks like. The Bible gives several descriptions about what worship can look like. And here we are trying to figure that out even for ourselves. What does that look like? Well, it may look like one thing for you and something different to the person next to you. Shouldn't that be okay? Because did God make us all the same? Okay. Shouldn't that be okay? It needs to be. I'm not sure, you know, this is not the greatest evangelistic message I've ever preached. This is not the biggest come to Jesus meeting you've ever been to. I know that. But we're beginning to lay the foundations of what God wants us to be down the road so that we can really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only power on this earth to save us. That's the message we have. It's a great message. It's a great gift that we've been given, and we're called to share that. We need to be that church. We need to be that church. Now, I've heard a lot over the last few weeks about months, you know, that this is. Heard some people came in and said, "Wow, this church on the inside doesn't look near like it does on the outside. I came expecting one thing, and there was something else. It's like a great present that's wrapped up in a bow, whatever." But I even heard somebody say, "Well, it ain't your grandma's church." But it might be, because we got grandmas here. So what's wrong with that? Why can't it be grandma's church? It's just not church like some people know church. But here's my deal. If it's real, if it's genuine, and if it is of God, I want that church. I want that church. I want us to be that church. I want us to be that church. Maybe you're here today. I'm done preaching. But maybe you're here today, and you are just maybe through the worship, which was phenomenal, off the chain, off the charts, whatever they're saying these days. Maybe you're here today, and the Lord is dealing with you. Okay, maybe you need to come to the altar during this time. You do that. You come. Maybe you need to come and see me or Rebecca. She'll be standing here with me. Maybe you need to come see one of us and have one of us or both of us pray with you. We'd love to do that. Maybe you need to go see somebody else. Hal will quit singing, because other people will be singing. Hal will pray with you. You know, there are a number of other people. We have four deacons. They will pray with you. There are lots of people. You know, this is a time for you. But let me encourage you in this. Don't leave with unfinished business. Don't leave with unfinished business. Leave it at the altar. This is a big altar. It can take lots of stuff. Come and lay down some bitterness. Come and lay down some unforgiveness. Come and lay down some disappointments and some hurts and some trials and some failures. Come and lay those down too and walk away and don't pick them back up. That's the cool thing about God. He said, "Bring it to me. I'm going to take it because it's heavy on you, and I'm going to give you something that's light. I'm going to give you something that's light." What is your need today? Where are you today? I want us to be that church where you find what you need. Can we be that church, folks? Let's be that church. Now, it's going to take work. We got a lot of things we're about to get started on, a lot of ideas, some things we're working, some changes we're making, some direction we're headed, and it's not all figured out yet. We still got to get there. Are you with me? Okay. So would you stand? Father in heaven, we come before you right now, Lord. And I know, Lord, that this is not the most, I didn't preach Jesus as hard as I wanted to preach Jesus, Father. But this other message, just I couldn't get away from it. But Lord, you are so good in that you can take the message, you can take the songs that we've sung, you can take the prayers, you can take the experiences and teach us and touch us where we are. So, Father, I pray that you would do that today, that you have done that today. And, Lord, oh, it's always my sincere and earnest prayer, Father, that if somebody would just come to know you today for the very first time, oh, Lord, what an experience that would be. We would celebrate. We would be overjoyed. Lord, somebody in this room, I know, I don't know names, but I just feel that somebody in this room needs to come back to you. Somebody needs to come back to you and say, "Here I am. This is not where I wanted, where I have been. But today I'm coming back. I'm coming home. Back into the arms of Jesus." Holy Spirit, you are here. You have been speaking. You have been teaching. You have been prodding. You have been nudging. Oh, may you have your way in us today. May we put aside all of our thinking about embarrassment or thinking about what are people going to think or say. Oh, Lord, remember, we don't care so much about reputation as we care about revelation. Whatever you have revealed to us, may we act upon today. That's my sincere and earnest prayer for us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time.